How many people here have been to General Assembly? How many people here have no idea what General Assembly is? General Assembly is a meeting, yearly meeting, of all the Unitarian Universalist churches in the United States and Canada, I think. It draws between 3,500 to 5,000 UUs, and it's a week-long celebration. There's business that has to be done and votes to be taken. But there's also services and sessions, learning sessions, how to run a church, that kind of thing. Really an interesting and exciting week. So in 2014, a group of us, led by Reverend Anya Samler-Michael, her husband, Reverend Scott Samler-Michael, Reverend Nancy McDonald-Ladd, who used to be at Bull Run but is now at River Road in Maryland, and me talked about bridging the political divide in our congregations at one of those sessions. We got about 220 people to show up. We did some skits, some commentaries, some stand-up exercises, and of course, like any UU gathering, had a covenant. Ours went like this: respect the privacy of those who confide, speak your truth in love, absolutely no analogies that rely on Nazis, fascists, or Stalinist Russia. And there weren't any. So why did we do this? What political divide, you may ask? Well, the most recent example, last week I received a fundraising letter from the UUA in Boston with RESIST written all over it in red. RESIST in big red letters. I wonder who or what they were talking about, the head of our religion in Boston. Maybe they want us to resist socialism? That's a rhetorical question. We can parse it all we want, but we all know what they meant. Since I have been a UU, the association in Boston often comments publicly on behalf of you and me on political issues, exclusively taking the side of Democrats. A snarky person, not me, might even say UUA is the religious arm of the Democratic Party. So it was that kind of political bias we intended to address at the session. Reverend Anya was the moderator and talked about the chalice lighting we shared today. Many of us are familiar with Marjorie Bones Wheatley's Litany of Restoration. You know, it will not matter, et cetera, et cetera. What you probably don't know is that at the General Assembly that year in Rhode Island, with 3,500 people attending a service in a giant hall, that reading was used. The words were projected on big screens. But unbelievably to me, they omitted the line, "If I am conservative and you are progressive." They took it out of something that's written in our hymnal. If you do research on the web, you will see many UU churches and events that do the same thing. To me, it is one thing to change the words to Christmas songs, which I struggle with, but to literally eliminate a whole group of people from a hymnal reading is just mind-blowing to me. Reverend Scott then talked about how our religion requires us to be open to others. And my piece had to do with the impact that bias has on the growth and lack thereof of this denomination. Reverend Nancy McDonald-Ladd then told this story. She told us about when she was a minister at Bull Run in Manassas at a time when young immigrant children were being harassed at bus stops. The immigration issue was very hot there at the time, as you may recall. She contacted all of the local pastors whom she knew to set up a response. In a shaky voice, she said even though they were all in the same interfaith group, not one pastor returned her call. Not one. Now, she knew these people and that they were very supportive of her position on the issue. She was puzzled, to say the least. Eventually, an African-American minister friend of hers sat her down and told her what the problem was. "Your religion, UUism, is not taken seriously by the other faith communities. Your religion is the woo-woo religion that will take the Democrat side on any issue that comes out. Nancy was crestfallen and a little skeptical. But then this minister friend contacted the same local pastors, and now they responded. They created a task force. Reverend Nancy did all the work, but the minister friend had to be the front person. She said to the hushed crowd in Phoenix, "It is not acceptable to me that our religion, the religion I love, is not welcome in the public sphere because of our perceived knee-jerk political beliefs." There were a lot of tears in the audience as she finished. So why did 220 people come to this presentation? You would think the crowd would have been filled with conservatives looking for relief from the rigid liberal orthodoxy imposed at the General Assembly. Yet when we were finished, after being interrupted many times by applause, lines of people came to talk to us. Many thanked us. Their stories basically went, "I am conservative," or "I am somewhat conservative, but I'm afraid to admit it in my UU church." Afraid. This is a UU church we are talking about, right? You know, the one with principle number 4, the free and independent search for truth and meaning. People are afraid to admit they are not Democrats in our churches. Are our congregations saying some independent churches are more equal than others? But there were also many self-professed liberals who apologized to us and thanked us for opening their eyes to the issue. They vowed to be more aware and call people out on blatant political bias. They wanted to know what else they could do to help, and this was very moving to me. And if you like, afterwards I can direct you to the resources we have set up in response, including a web page. I grew up an Irish Catholic in Boston. Like many UUs, I left the Catholic Church early on, and my wife was not particularly enamored of her Armenian apostolic faith, but eventually we decided we wanted a religious education for our children. How many people have been down that route? And I had stumbled across Ralph Waldo Emerson's writings and was shocked to find how they resonated with me. He was a Unitarian minister. So we sought out a UU church. The concept of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning was wonderful. And the fact that I could join others in a church setting to do so, I found nothing short of amazing. I craved a religion that would allow me to express and develop my spirituality. Who knew one actually existed? When we moved to Virginia and joined the UU Church in Reston, my first impression was surprise that people weren't discussing religion all the time. I was still on my new UU high, you see. But we saw enough to like that we settled in as UUs and had some great experiences there. But slowly it became clear that a large majority of members were Democrats that had little use for people who questioned the liberal orthodoxy. Worse, these folks made the fundamental UU mistake of assuming everyone believed the same thing. They would often talk during joys and concerns at church events and even from the pulpit about liberal positions that everyone knows are correct. Eventually, we drifted away. Then a crazy thing happened. A group of us started this congregation. It is a complicated story, but I at least held out the hope that maybe we could be different by trying to keep politics out of our sanctuary. We vowed to do it, and in the 23 years since, we have pretty well kept to that vow. Anybody here who has been a member elsewhere is probably surprised at how little politics play into our exercise of religion here. Those who have only been members here don't always realize we have something special going on. I am a believer, supporter, and fighter for human rights, most especially LGBT rights, women's rights, and immigration rights. Heck, I support Medicare for all. I have held signs and engaged in conversations at my neighborhood polling places trying to prevent the Virginia anti-gay constitutional amendment. For these things, my non-church friends and neighbors around the Beltway think I am a crazy liberal. But because I generally vote Republican and am not shy about saying so, my church friends think I'm a crazy conservative. More than once, I've been called a token conservative, all in good fun, but there is a ring of truth to it. When friends ask me about my religion, I extol its virtues, but I always have to caveat it with, if you can handle the politics. I do not like having to do that. There are so many people I know who would love this faith, but would quickly get turned off by our subtle politics that seep into almost any conversation. So it is easy to complain about biases in our churches, but what should we do about it? What can we do? Well, let's ask a fundamental question. Why are you here? It's not an easy question. I am here because I can explore and strengthen my personal spirituality in a space where I am not forced to follow a religious dogma. Others are here because they like our politics and feel comfortable in the pews where everybody thinks like me. I think those are two ends of the spectrum in our church. Most of us are probably here in some part for the religion, in some part for the stance on social justice issues, so somewhere in the middle of that spectrum. But to me, a heartfelt and deep connection to our faith comes first. Then, to the extent your faith moves you, you move on to supporting social justice issues. I believe our error is to think about issues first and the religion second. For me personally, a UU church whose emphasis is not on religion is one I will not attend. We are arguably a dying religion. Did you know that? We are shrinking year by year. The largest UU churches in this area, Fairfax and Arlington, have about 1,000 members each. Those are our flagship congregations. Anyone know how many people are in the McLean Bible Church? I don't know, 25,000, something like that? This is not going to be politically correct to say, but our religion is better than theirs. Why don't we have the 25,000? And I believe it's because our political biases get in the way of our religion. Why doesn't our religion resonate with people? Younger people don't like dogma or being force-fed religion, but they very much consider themselves spiritual. We are tailor-made for that. Why don't we have 25,000 of those people? We need to welcome the other. We need to make our congregations religious havens for those who come to us. Religious havens for those who come to us. The parking lot bumper stickers will quickly give us away politically, but to my mind, there is no place for the knowing laughs, the condescension, the ridicule from our pulpits, and even in coffee hour of those who vote differently. Every comment should be screened in our brains so we don't commit the UU cardinal sin of assuming something about another person. When I was suffering the slings and arrows of predicting and then celebrating a Donald Trump victory on Facebook, when I had pretty much decided that UUCS, a church I had helped create, might no longer be my spiritual home, I received a Facebook message from one of our members asking me in an honest way to talk about my positions and explain them. It was the first true religious response I had received, and for that I will always be grateful. I want you to ask yourself if you would personally welcome non-liberals into our midst. Not superficially welcome, but really welcome. Would the words coming from the pulpit or from Joys and Sorrows or even announcement be derisive and hurtful to non-liberal people who are looking for a religious home? What effect does that have on potential UUs whose skin is thinner than mine? It says, you are not welcome here. This UU church says, you are not welcome here. It is hypocritical of us to promise a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, but quickly let it be known that some responsible searches are more equal than others. I spoke with Reverend Anya often about this. I happen to believe that people who do not support LGBTQ rights or women's rights probably would not and maybe should not feel welcome here. But probably not surprisingly, Reverend Anya is slightly more magnanimous than I am, and she believes we absolutely should welcome those souls too. I don't know, but the people I think we're missing out on are what I'd call libertarians, pretty much the entire millennial generation, pro-civil rights for all, but small government and less interference in our daily lives, like the people described on the covers of your order of service. I have been taught in our adult RE classes, religious education classes, and other sessions that the words we choose have great power and therefore must be viewed through the lens of anti-racism and anti-oppression. I strongly agree with this direction. It is my proposition that to be truly the church for the 21st century, which we often call ourselves, we will need to welcome all those that share the love of our faith and its seven principles, our dreams and our aspirations, but maybe they believe there is a different political path to get there. To accomplish this, we will need to affirmatively include in our screening lens political leaning. Last year, the board actually added that to the bylaws of the church, political leaning. To accomplish this, we need to firmly include that political leading. While I would never compare the hurt I feel at being a political outsider to that felt by historically oppressed groups, it does hurt. It limits our movement, and the solution to the problem is similar. I am saying the only way for us to really grow in numbers and indeed in spirit is by being inclusive in words and deeds to people who do not necessarily toe the Democratic Party line. Think of the difference we can make in the world if we but disciplined ourselves to the task of opening our hearts to people with political differences. It is my belief that if we would only let it be known that all are welcome at our table, that we covenant to be in right relationship with everyone that walks through our doors, even people who just might vote for, yes, Donald Trump, we could grow in real numbers. Look at your OOS cover again. I got that from a Tulsa, Oklahoma UU church by way of my friend Mel, who happens to be sitting back there. Would we put up a sign like that? If we would, I'd pay for it. If we could tap the spiritual but unchurched folks who hold moderate political views, we could greatly increase the impact our actions have in the world. We have a religion here that is too great to hide under a bushel basket of political dogma. Our UU light shines brightly, but we cloak it in political purity. Think about what we could accomplish in the way of human rights and real social justice if we consciously broke down these barriers and we grew substantially in numbers. We could then become a transformative force for our nation and the world instead of being lumped in as other religions in the pew polls. So what needs to happen? How do we live this? Well, if you agree with us, and I hope you do, we need you to help do this welcoming work at UUCS. To be clear, I am not asking you to change your political leanings. I am asking you to be courageous and raise an objection when words or jokes of political derision are sprinkled in our sanctuary. Call people on it. It is not the conservatives or moderates who will make these changes, nor is it just the liberals. It's all of us. Please be one of those who helps begin this change. It is not just the right thing to do. I truly believe our future as a religion depends on it. Thank you.